Yo, yo, what's up, yo? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. What I do each and every week, I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. So y'all know what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to give y'all that conversation that y'all are looking for, as always, right? So this is what we're going to do, like I always do each and every show. I like to give thanks to all the people that download the audio version of this podcast, this platform. I definitely appreciate y'all, because without y'all, like I said, this wouldn't be able to be a thing that would really be considered a real platform. Like, I do get it. Like, I talk to a lot of people all the time and they tell me about, you know, the video version of different things, right? Because that's how things really go viral. Things go viral because people actually are looking at things, right? Very seldom things are going viral because it's heard. But that's only because you don't know, because technically there's a whole industry out here, people who drive a lot and be in their cars and, you know, people who looking for certain type of information because they know mainstream media has failed them, right? So they go out and they look for the information. And so because of that, I'm allowed to exist. And so many other platforms that have this mindset of saying to the people, like, yo, I want to get the news out, right? We're not trying to be in consideration of just being one thing, right? Being a monolith. We want to be what we're supposed to be, and which is a human being, right? And we're supposed to be able to have conversation with everybody. There shouldn't be a block in the middle of people having conversation. Even if they're tough ones, you don't always have to agree with everybody in order for you to have a conversation, right? Not necessarily in that aspect of what I do up here, because, you know, I like to have conversation with people who are experts in whatever field they in, but also don't mind having a conversation about life, because listen, we could learn from each other. We've had so many different things that's kept us separated in this country as a group of people, and we know what the main three things are. I say that each and every week: race, religion, and politics. Those are the three things that keep us separated in this world, and because of that is the reason why people don't understand perspective. And with perspective is how you get to understand other people, where it's not just about what you think, saying that it's a right or wrong, but an understanding of how you may want to enter a room or exit a room. It's just having understanding, right? But the understanding of being able to give thanks is one thing that I'm always going to do, because it doesn't matter. Like, look, people don't have to download the audio version. So I'm thankful to each and every person that downloads the audio version of this platform. So thank y'all so much. All right. Double shout out to all the sponsors, Collective Wear. Thank you for the Sparking Conversation merch. Y'all know what to do if y'all guys want to get and want to support the platform and you would like to purchase the Sparking Conversation merch. Y'all know what to do. Just hit me up personally. I will have a link in the description of this video, as you can just click on, boom, shoot you straight to where you need to be, and you can support. I definitely would appreciate it, right? Because I'm going to be honest with y'all, a lot of times my content gets flagged for community guidelines because I'm telling the truth. Like, think about it. When I spoke about the things that went on with the storm that was in North Carolina, right? When I spoke on the storm, I was only speaking of it from the people who are actually on the ground, not from what the news was saying, but the people who actually live out there. Remember, it wasn't because Elon was allowed to send a Starlink out there that people was even able to get their internet to be able to get information out, because before that, they had no power or nothing. We had to just go by whatever the news was saying, and the news was saying it like everything was okay, when there were people in there saying, no, it's not okay. We got FEMA sitting right up here up the street, and they have no supplies, but they're blocking different ways for people to get there in order to get supplies. I told y'all before, like, yo, it was independent people who own helicopters that have their own helicopter. Right? They were the ones that were going in and out helping people. And the fact that they didn't have any electricity, no way to charge their cell phones in order for them to get information out, we had to just get whatever was given to us. But it was terrible, right? And still is, from the way people had to build up. And because I told the truth, or because I told the people's truth, not my truth. That's another thing that I do on the platform. It's not about my troop. I tell the people's troop. And because of that, I got flagged, especially on TikTok. Right, we're gonna get into that a little bit in a minute, you know what I'm saying? But before I do that, so shout out to all the sponsors, shout out to Java Burn, all right? Shout out to Second Round Libido Drinks. I know a lot of people have been asking about it because you've been seeing the advertisements and stuff like that. A lot of the information about it is on their website, so whenever y'all do see it, please click the link, go ahead and get out there and get the information because they have a total breakdown of everything that it helps with, okay? So double shout out to them. The Atlas Wine. Yes, The Atlas Wine is also a sponsor. I am a brand ambassador for The Atlas Wine. The Atlas Wine has three different flavors. It has sweet, semi-sweet, and it has a dry version. For all the people out there that are wine connoisseurs that like to mix it with cheese and stuff like that, they have three different ones. And we do have a wine tasting coming up. So if you guys are interested in being a part of that, or at least wanting to be in the building, right, it's always a way for you to do that. I just need you to hit us up on my email right there, sparkingconversation@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, entertainment mixer, wine event, and you just let me know. And then boom, when the information, I get everything together, we're going to do it in 2025. I'll get y'all in there, right? And we want y'all to be in the building because what we're doing is we're bringing a bunch of professionals from all different types of industries in a room together to network on a different level because we understand cross-promotion is the way for us to be able to get the word out about everything that we have going on. Two, long we've been separated, y'all, by differences that don't really mean nothing at the end of the day. I promise you, everything goes down to when it comes down to who you are as a person. Now, we can get past all this about the way people look, then we can get into the meat and the grit of what we need to do in order to survive. It don't matter who's in the White House. It matters who's outside the house. Remember that. You know what I'm saying? Like, what your house look like? What color is your house? You know what I'm saying? That's the house that you need to worry about, right? But anyway, double shout out to them. And thank y'all so much for people that like to, you know, that do support the platform. I definitely appreciate y'all. All right. So I have a guest tonight. Like I told y'all, we're going to get into some things. It's going to be a really great conversation. I'm so looking forward to having this conversation too as well, because the professional that I have coming up and everything that she's been able to do in the education space, not just that, but everything that she's done with children. And before we get into a little bit of that, I'm going to let y'all know why it's so important that I'm so thankful that she's on the show tonight. All right, so first things first, let's talk about things that's going on in the week. I know how I do, I gotta bring y'all the news. It looks like, and I don't know, man, but it looks like TikTok might wind up being banned. And I know that a lot of people have been up in arms about it because they're saying, like, listen, it's the only platform that allows a lot, like, people to get their truth out, when in actuality, it's really not, because a lot of people that I know that have been given whatever version of their truth out, they've had to get 8, 9, 10 different TikTok accounts because they keep getting shut down and banned. But this is not the main reason why they're going to do it, even though we know they are, because what happens is we know that TikTok is an Asian-based or China-based. I can't just say Asian because that's broad across. I got to be specific. It's a China-based company, right? And not only that, its a parent company is a company called ByteDance. ByteDance is a company that's owned in China, right? Even though TikTok has a U.S. version, a U.S. branch, and all that other stuff, right? But the parent company that owns TikTok, you know, basically, is in China. And China has this rule that all the businesses that are in China have to, not can, not may, but they have to report whatever they need, whatever the government asks for them over there in China, they got to report that. So a lot of us that's on TikTok, because I'm on there too, that's why I don't put personal information and business on social media at all, but that's another thing. Anyway, so the fact that they're able to do that is because, so what they're saying is that China at any given time has the ability to check in on American citizens through their app. And what they're saying is you don't have to be something about so much about remoting in or having the ability to do that, because we know with technology, it's a lot of things that they could do. But they can be forced to turn over certain information. And that's what's crazy about it. Not only does TikTok suppress everything that goes on in China, because look, it'd be mad stuff going on in China that the world don't know about. Because you look, they'll make their image squeaky clean, like China just running it like this. No, they got all kind of stuff that happened, especially to women out there. Trust me. We think that things just happen to women over here. No, women all over the world. And listen, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. You know what I'm saying? When it comes down to nasty men, and I'm just being honest, when it comes down to nasty men, the things that they want is desires, the one and only desire that they always look to satisfy is their sexual desire, right? And we understand that's the way they go when it's a force of power. Like it's certain people who are just reenacting what's been done to them. And they're doing it to other people. And they do it everywhere. Don't think that it's just happening here. It's doing it everywhere. But we're going to get into why what's going on here. Because like I said, the children, number one that we should be protecting is the children. At all costs. Now, I don't want to hear nothing about nothing else. The children need to be important. They be more important than all these other things that the adults got going on. But I'm just letting y'all know, for those of y'all that love TikTok, nah, it ain't so much about the information that's going on there. Because they letting you talk junk about this government, but not letting the people over there talk junk about their own. So, you know, whatever. We can go with that or not. But here's the thing. Getting your information and being able to give it to a place that really don't like this place over here, then, yo, that's just the deal. I don't have a dog in that fight either way. You know what I'm saying? If they take it or they keep it, it don't matter. If you're using it for the tool that it's meant for or what you think that you could use it for, then whatever they're doing, it wouldn't matter. Right, but speaking of that, MSNBC is on the selling block. Why? Y'all know why. Because of all the misinformation that they've been giving the people for mad long. And then now, you know, the ratings of it, because they took so much time attacking, you know, they just kept attacking, fam. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, when you get attempts made on your life based on what other people are saying, it changes things, yo, right? Especially if you're the one saying it. So look, when you're the one saying it and the person that you're against wins, the first thing you do is feel like, yo, revenge gonna come. And so many people are looking at themselves right now like, yo, you know, he shouldn't go after people and he shouldn't do all this other stuff. I'm saying, yo, then, you know, maybe I shouldn't have messed with him. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That's the part that I'm saying about when it comes down to all these things, because right now, other countries are doing this thing that I don't know if all you guys are aware of. They're actually paying people to come to their country so they can help repopulate. So I'm going through all these different things, right, y'all? And I'm really trying to put this into perspective. If there are people that are skipping the places that are saying, I'm going to give you money just to come here, and they just slide through here, y'all, I don't know, man. It just don't make sense to me. Now, I know a lot of people are upset, too, because of the mass deportations that are coming. And I get that. And there's a lot of people that's been over here. Right? They've been over here since Obama, so we can't really say like it's just a new thing. And they've been doing good, and they've just been living their life, and they've been chilling, and they might get caught up in this because of the people who came through here illegally that's been running them up. But listen, here's the thing. You know, for those that are American citizens, I said this last week, yo, this your time for y'all to get up and speak up and do whatever you gotta do. If you could sponsor certain people and you know them, then do it like that. Sitting up here being upset because somebody is saying that my house is dirty and I want to clean it up is wrong for all of us to be sitting up here trying to blame a person for wanting to clean their house. I don't know. That ain't my business. All I'm saying is that if this is the time for people to really pull together and help those that you really care about, if you care about some of the people that may have slid through here illegally, then that's dope. And that's what I'm saying. So try to look out for them. Find ways that you can sponsor them. Do whatever you can to try to make sure that they can get through the spot legally. Because that's the ultimate goal anyway. Why would you want to be somewhere all the time looking over your shoulder regardless? They can't even jaywalk. You know what I'm saying? So look, it's best to get with the people that are here. If you feel that way, it's time to make your voices heard and let's make it happen, y'all. Y'all know how to get to the Senate. Y'all gonna have to get to DC and stop playing. But like I said, before I bring my guests up, just to let y'all know, the children are the most important. There are 800,000 children missing right now. 800,000 children missing right now. And the ones that they're finding them doing, they're working in factories after hours, right? Doing work that they are not even trained for. They just in there working, and then things are happening to them. They're dying at some of these factories because they're just throwing these kids in there. You know, a lot of them are being sex trafficked. Listen, they got children as young as 7 months old, nine months old that's being sexually assaulted. They got young girls. They got one girl that's 12 years old that's 9 months pregnant and they just caught. So what I'm saying to y'all, right, is that no matter what, it's just too much going on that is against children. And I don't understand as adults why that ain't firing us up. So we got to do more. There are other countries that are paying people just to come over there to have children. But at the same time, we got to worry about what's going on over here. They're calling us the United States of America. They're saying that they are the number one group of people. And they're just saying group of people because they're talking about the whole thing. I mean, I don't know. They can't talk about everybody, but they're saying that sex trafficking is the number one business over here in the world. They're saying that about us. And then there are other countries that are paying people to come there and have children, if y'all didn't know. So let's put that down. Ireland is paying $93,000 to come over there and help repopulate. Now, they want to put you in the rural areas. You're not going in the city area, but they're going to pay you $93,000 to come over there and have children. Switzerland is paying $23,000, right? Spain is paying $3,200 a month for 5 years just to come on over there and have children. You know what I'm saying? Help them repopulate. Greece is paying $500 a month, you know, for 3 years for you to come through and help them repopulate. Italy and Japan. Japan is paying $31,000 for you to help come over there and help repopulate them. So if you kind of put that into its perspective, y'all, people are paying for people to repopulate while over here people are losing children. That don't even make sense. It just don't make sense, y'all. But look, I'm about to bring my guest up because, you know, a lot of things that my guest, you know, has an expert in, and which is really so dope, is, you know, she has one thing in child psychology. And I think whenever you got to go through the mental state of what children go through, because so many people don't understand that these adults, these things that adults go through to other people is because it's been done to them. We always say hurt people, but then we rarely try to find the root cause of the hurt. And a lot of times it's always an adult taking advantage of a child. A lot of people grow up being that child, still that child. So much going on. So look, I'm going to bring my guest up because we got to get into some things, right? So all of y'all that are out there, thank y'all so much for joining us right now. If you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. If you're watching us on Facebook right now, just go ahead and like the page so you'll be notified every time we go live, all right? So let's bring Martha up real quick. There she go. Hello. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. I'm so glad to have you on the platform this evening. Thank you so much for, you know, be willing to share your information and your story with us right now tonight.
I'm honored to be here. Thanks, Rashid.
No problem. So look, this is what we're going to do. Before we get started, can you please introduce yourself to the audience and let them know why you're on the platform this evening?
All right. Sounds like a plan. My name is Martha Burridge. And I am a former child psychology professor. I taught child psychology for 10 years. I was a high school special education teacher for 16 years. And I'm an author. I wrote the book, Yes, You Can, Raise Happy, Responsible Children, which is endorsed by Jack Canfield, who edited the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. And Jack said that this book has the potential to transform the lives of families worldwide. And why did I write that book? Because when my son was 4, he was spoiled. And we didn't know what we were going to do. He was so spoiled, he made our lives miserable. Everybody was miserable. So I got some information, and I used it, and I turned him around. In 6 weeks, he became a completely different child. Cooperative, would take the answer no. And changed our lives. So I wrote about it. And that's And that's really, it's part of what we're going to talk about tonight, you know, how you can turn your children around. And also, you know, you make a really good point, Rashid. A lot of children that are missing because they run away from home, because they don't feel accepted at home. They don't feel they belong. They don't get the attention they need. So sometimes children run away from home and then find themselves in circumstances that are unfortunate. So we want our children to stay at home. So we want to be able to give them the attention, the feelings of belonging, and the responsibility and chores, that whole idea that, you know what, I belong here. I have a duty. I have a place here. And because I have a place here, I have a duty to do things. I have responsibilities. Life isn't just give me, give me, give me. That raises people who don't care about others. Life is, what can I do for the world? How can I make the world better? And like Rashid said earlier, it's not about your house, it's about my house. How do I clean up my house?
Right. And I'm glad you said that. And that's why it's going to be a great conversation tonight, because a lot of times, you know, in the whole thing of children running away or not being accepted, is because a lot of times, you know, for a lot of us, we grow up in a household where there's only one parent. And unfortunately, you know, with the rise of everything that's going on, you know, the only thing that's rising is inflation and prices, but not wages, right? So a lot of these parents are having to pull more hours, you know, even rent. Every year, rent is going up on people without even taking in consideration that wages are not going up. You know, people that are in a capitalistic mindset, which I don't feel like is wrong mindset. I just think that at times, having compassion will bring you more than just being a stickler to business. And sometimes with children, they get caught in the middle of that, right? By not getting the attention that you need. So let me ask you this. When you said that your son was 4 years old and he was spoiled and he was making everybody's life miserable, at what point did you feel like you needed to go seek help and not try to just think about it? Or did you just brush it over? Because some people just brush over their children as based on their age. Oh, they're just acting like that right now because they're this age. So I wanted to know, like, from you, when you really realize, yo, I need to figure out something else. This can't be just because of his age.
I knew, you know, I saw other children, and then he had a preschool teacher, and she was phenomenal. She was a retired nun. She was like a child whisperer. She was unbelievable. And she would say to us, you know, Anthony's a wonderful child, and you need to get control of him. He's too spoiled. You know, he's smart and everything else, but he's too spoiled. He doesn't know how to take no for an answer. And, you know, the number one of the main things about being an adult is taking no for an answer. Too many times as adults, we don't do that. You know, I have a parenting method. I call it the three L's of parenting. One is love them enough to say no. Because people who don't hear no become adults who are become children and adults who are impossible to deal with. And this is whether your child is autistic, attention deficit, or learning disabled. Everyone can learn the skills to accept no as an answer. And you know, the number one no is to accept it from ourselves. No, you can't have 5 donuts. No, you can't run out in the street. No, you can't hit somebody because you're mad. No, you can't kick the dog. No, you know, no. And no, you can't have another drink. No, but we want immediate gratification because we have not internalized and learned to say no to ourselves. And we haven't learned to say no to ourselves because nobody has said no to us and meant it. And that was my problem. His father, too, both of us, we would say no. Then Anthony would push back and we go, okay. Well, then, you know, we were pushovers and he knew it. At 4 years old, he knew it. And one day I said no and I meant it and I did not change it. He went crazy. He went crazy. It fried his little brain because he was never, that had never happened to him before. So he wasn't being bad or willful or ignorant. He had a terrible tantrum because his little brain was like, what? Something's wrong here. What? She always says, she always gives in. I always get my way. And his little brain just went nuts. I had to carry him out of the store like this. He was kicking me and hitting and just going nuts. And people, I heard people as I was walking out of the store going, you know, she should hit him. Well, what would he learn if I hit him? Plus, he was going through a mental, like a little mental breakdown for a little four-year-old because he was, you know, his reality had just been like totally torn up. He didn't know what was going on. Like, what? Who is this woman? So that was a tough day. I had to take him out to the car. We got into the car. He was still going crazy. I thought he was going to kick me in the head in the back seat. And it took like 10 minutes for him to finally calm down where he got tired enough, where he would sit and put his seatbelt on. And when we went home, I said, I think you need to go to your room. And when we're both feeling better, we can talk about this. But yeah, it was a tough day for both of us. But you know what? It was the turning point. It was the day when I learned that I needed to step up because what I had done, I'm going to start to cry now, Rashid. What I had done was hurt my son because he did not understand that no meant no. And look what I put him through because of it.
Right. And Tag, you make a very valid point about people who grow up as adults not being able to take no for an answer because there's so many different situations that adults go through just because they felt like they wasn't supposed to hear the word no. And that's another thing about and different aspects of where you are in life as an individual. They always try to tell us to have emotional intelligence about everything, right? I can speak from a man's point of view. I would say this, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't want to be forced into a place where you have to show your masculinity, right? Because that comes from a place of, you know, whether you did used to hear no or not for an answer as a kid growing up. Because some people didn't hear no or yes because they was able to just do what they wanted to do. So the only no or yes that they heard was from themselves or from people that they were around because, you know, they were outside. I remember me growing up where I had a curfew. There were friends of mine that didn't. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I used to have to be in the house when the streetlights come on. I had friends that didn't. I had friends that, you know, they would be out and doing stuff that I couldn't do. You know what I mean? Like, and I recognized it at a young age. So being able to be told no, like, no, you can't do that. That helped me so much with discipline and telling myself. And you make such a great point with that of when it comes down to me saying, no, I can't skip the gym today. Like, no, I cannot skip it. Right. Oh, no, I cannot not drink water. No, I cannot. You know, it's that thing that comes into you because you've heard no and you were okay. It wasn't like no was the end of the world. And sometimes no just being no at the moment, not no forever. Mm-hmm. So when you said that it took that one day and sometimes that all it takes is for one thing to happen and that switch a flip and it's a wrap from there. Now we got to go a whole nother way because you being a child psychologist, is that, were you a child psychologist before this happened to you that day? Or was this something that you took up after?
No, that was after. It was after when they taught child psychology courses. Mm. Yes.
Okay.
So, and you know, another thing is when children, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What you was going to say?
When children don't contribute, that's another thing. When you don't give your children chores, a one-year-old can hand you her cup or his cup. A one-year-old can match socks that are the same color. A one-year-old can pet the dog, comb the dog, whatever. Every child needs chores. You know, if you have a three-year-old, they should have a broom that fits their little hand. And they can sweep the floor and help with the chores. Everybody should participate in the home because the home is for all of us. And, you know, in Japan, there are no janitors at the schools. The children do all the cleaning. They take care of the bathrooms, the floors, the food, everything, because they realize that it's where they are is their responsibility and the cleanliness of it. So our home, that's where our tribe is. It's our family is our first tribe. So don't we want to make everything as pleasant as possible in our home for all of us? Not, you know, and mom shouldn't have to do all the work and dad shouldn't have to do all the work. We all should contribute to make our home beautiful and make our home a place that we want to be at, clean and comfortable. Right. And my home can't be clean and comfortable if you're leaving your clothes and your toys all over the floor for me to trip over or the dog to get hurt or the baby to fall. So you need to be responsible for yourself and your things. But also, we all have jobs we need to do to help make our home comfortable and happy for us to live in it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because you got to start at home, like they say. Everything starts at home. And I really feel that way, too, when it comes to, you know, raising young men, too, because you don't want them to go into, you know, out in the world and a woman elects him to be her leader and he can't even do the basics, like help when it comes down to cleaning or washing clothes. There's so many dudes I know that don't even wash their own clothes. They still drop their clothes off to their mother house and she washed their clothes as an adult, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw that. I was just like, yo, your mother wash your clothes? Like, you don't even care. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a thing that I was taught, like going to the laundromat and all kind of stuff. So, you know, you write about that. And so the question I was going to ask earlier was in that space of, you know, developing, you know, a age where it's time to start teaching the child to be able to be a little bit more responsible around the house. At what age do you feel like parents should start to implement this?
By the time they're one, they should be doing a little something. Good, you gave mommy your cup. Good, that helps us keep the house clean. We don't just want to leave it sitting on the table because it needs to be washed and put away. So you always explain to the child too what you're doing and why you do it. Oh, we pick that up before we go to bed at night because otherwise we have a big mess in the morning and then we could trip over it. Oh, we always wash the dishes before we go to bed at night because we don't want to wake up to a sink full of dirty dishes because that could bring bugs. You know, you always explain to the child. And as soon as they can get a little step stool, let them stand at the sink and wash dishes when they're three, you know, because they want they want to do it. So it's when you keep them from doing it, because it's faster if you just do it yourself. But you know, here's the reality. Children are children for a short period of our lives. They're adults for a much longer period of our lives. And if we want our children to hurry up and grow up, we're going to miss their little lives. So we need to let them be children. You know, let me tell you a story about Maria Montessori, the Montessori schools. And Montessori is an experience-based education program. Well, when her little kids would spill the milk or the orange juice or whatever, she would go, oh, darn, we spilled the milk. But and we'll have to clean it up. But in the meantime, let's play with it. Do their hands and, you know, and do whatever. And see if it was sticky and this and that. And they would have a good old time with it, you know, rather than how we are as adults. Oh, my goodness, you spilt the milk. Oh, my goodness. Now I got to clean that up. No, let's all work together and clean it up.
Right. That's good though, because even mine, I have a 2-year-old and he like we have gates in our house because we got steps and stuff like that, and you know, to make sure, because you know, he's reckless, right? He's a boy, so he's jumps and climbs and does all kind of stuff. But you know, if I leave the gate open or, you know, we in the house, we need a gate open, he'll come behind and close it. And then, you know, always letting him know, thank you, you know, good job and all these other little things. So you're right. They be wanting to help. And as they start to get older, they start to pay attention to what you do. And then they want to do it, too. Mm-hmm. When I was vacuuming on Saturday, I was vacuuming and he used to be scared of it. Right. You know, but now he's getting a little bit more, you know, adventurous where he's not scared of it. So now he want to hold it. So eventually he's going to be, you know, starting to vacuum. Right. But I'm going to get him a little toy one so he can seem like he's doing it at the same time. But these are things that fabulous. You're right. When you pay attention to your children, right, at an early age, and then you allow them to just develop. right? Not try to make them be what you want them to be, but allow them to develop. Let them start talking when they want, you know, just continue to encourage them that it's okay. And I think that's the great thing about the opportunity that I get with him being so little right now is that, you know, I get to allow him to learn himself at the same time learning how to be, you know, around, you know, us as his parents, right? Learning how to make sure you can coincide with us and respect what we got going on. But you also appreciate the fact that, yeah, man, you're a little person. So come on, let's figure you out. Let's figure out what's in you. And then let me try to put some stuff in you. Because some things, you know, are not in us. Unfortunately, we have to be taught them. So let me ask you this. When it came down to, you know, you getting ready to write this book, when did that take place where you felt like, okay, because I know you said earlier that you learned some things, so you decided to write about it. But you learned them, but you, then you implemented them on your child. And then once you figured out it worked, you said it's 6 weeks. And that was the inspiration for you to want to write the book to help other people? Or did you say to yourself, I need to start doing, you know, speaking to parents? Because you know how it is.
Well,
Which one did you figure? What did it ignite both, or did you jump right into the literary space?
Well, I started teaching child psychology about 6 years later. So, you know, I had that whole period with Anthony between the time he was 4 and 10. And he really, he was really a pleasant child. We used to sit, we would read the same books and we would talk. And one day, every day when he came from school, he came home from school, I wouldn't say how was school. I would say, what is the worst thing and the best thing that happened today at school? Because that opens the door for conversation. Because otherwise, you ask the kid, how was school? Good, bad, you know, it was fine. So you don't get enough conversation. So I would ask him, what was the best thing? What was the worst thing? And then end of his day. And then I would tell him what was the best and the worst of my day. But, you know, Rashid, I probably knew more about what was going on in his classroom than his teacher, because he would tell me who misbehaved and what happened and this and that. Oh, I got so much information. It was really great. And one day we went to, I think it was parent teacher night. And the teacher said to me, you know, he was third grade. So what is that? About eight years old. And the teacher said, you know, Anthony's cooperative and helpful. She goes, but if he finishes his work before anyone else, he won't help anyone else. So whenever the teacher talks about your child, make sure the child hears. Don't do anything behind the child's back. Make sure the child hears. The child was, so Anthony was standing right there. And I said, Anthony, is what she said, do you agree with that, what she said? And he said, yes. And I said, well, why don't you help anybody else? And he said, I said, why don't you help anybody else? And he said, because when she gives instructions, they don't listen. And then they want me to come and help them do their work. Well, they should have listened and not disrupted. And I said, well, you got a point there. You definitely, because then he would have been reinforcing them for not paying attention and not doing the right thing in class if he would have helped them.
Right. So well,
you always want to listen. You want to listen to both sides. You're not, and you know, I didn't say, do you agree? Well, that's pretty much what I did say. Is what she said. Is that how you see things? That's how you put it. Is that how you see what happened? And then, well, how do you see what happened? And then that you're not making anybody wrong. And then you can also ask them, well, are you willing to help other children? No. No. Can you help other children? Yes, I can. Are you willing? No. Well, how come you're not willing? Because they won't listen. If they won't listen to the teacher, why should I waste my time? Boy, oh boy, good point.
And at some point, you know, once your child develops that type of rationale, you're going to have to allow them to be, because it's part of their personality now. Like, they're really being observant. and then processing it that way. Because technically, you know, there's some people who always look for the opportunity to prove that they're smarter than other people. So it don't matter what. If they could be put in the front or shine, they're going to do it. So it's certain kids that would have jumped at the opportunity just because it puts them in a light where they're above mm-hmm. other people. Right. Because like you say, some mm-hmm. certain things are taught at home that people have that type of competition. So when you do get people who say to themselves, I'm not with that. I'm OK. I'm going to stay over here in my lane. I'm going to pay attention and do what I got to do for me, because they not. That's mm-hmm. an individual. That's a leader. So
that's right.
That was a good look that he right. did that. And most parents should respect their children when they make those type of breakdowns, because it takes
right.
most adults don't rationalize like that. So,
yeah. And, you know, we make our children share their toys. I don't share my car. I don't share my stuff with other people, please. So if my child has a toy, why should I make him share it with others? You know, before anybody comes over, we need to have a conversation. Okay, so-and-so's coming over. Are there toys that so-and-so can play with? Are there toys that you don't want to play with? We'll put those away. You know, have respect for the child. Do you let other people, you know, have the things that mean a lot to you, your computer, you know what I mean? Right. So it's the same thing with kids, but we're so disrespectful of them. Well, you should share. Why? Why?
I mean, it only goes, I think the main reason why people want you to learn how to share is if you grow up in a house with siblings, because siblings will be the closest thing that you'll have to a relationship outside, you know what I mean? If you kind of really look at it mm-hmm. from that perspective, because there are a lot of selfish people who grew up just with themselves, right? They only had to worry about themselves. They only had to take care of themselves, or people only had to focus on them. They never had to share attention, and they never had to share certain things when it came to holidays. You know, they were put mm-hmm. in a position where things were just about them. So they have a real hard time being able to decipher what it means to sacrifice and put others before them, because all they can see mm-hmm. is their agenda. Because for some people, it makes them feel like they're right because of so many things that's been given to them. Because we as adults, we like to make up for the things with our children that didn't happen for us. So that gives the child mm-hmm. a sense of entitlement, and it also gives the person a sense of importance, because we're going to do these things for them. And some people grow up mm-hmm. as adults. They grow up that way. That's why their patience are really thin. It's a lot of things because, you know, they grew up where it was just about them. Very hard for them just to see outside of that. Right. So teaching how to share at that age allows them to understand that, hey, listen, it's not all about you. So, yeah, I would not share my car, right? But if I happen to allow you to drive my car and then all of a sudden you have an accident, well, I should mm-hmm. be more concerned about you and not the car, mm-hmm. right? Because any set of circumstances can happen. But if you're a person that only is about you, and you don't like to share, and you don't like to think, or you think that you don't, and when something like that happens, you be going to pieces, you ready to break down, you're not even concerned about the person, because it couldn't have been their fault that they had a car accident. Yeah. But you're not even concerned about them. You're only concerned about this and this product that you have, because it's yours, because you grew up so much with people saying, here, this is yours, and you just been allowed to keep it. You wasn't allowed to share it. You didn't have to share it. Nobody made you share anything. It was just yours, yours, yours. So you have people like that where it doesn't, they do not grow up to be very, you know, really sociable adults, because, or they don't have a lot of friends because of that, because they haven't learned how to share, and relationships don't work out for them that way. So we need a balance.
And we call that the bondage of self. Yeah. We need a balance. We call that the bondage of self. What you think about is yourself. Yeah. That's a really good point. Exactly. We still need to have respect for the child, because maybe there are some things that they absolutely, that really mean something to them and they don't want to share.
Right.
So we need to have that conversation too. You make such a good point. Yes, we do.
But that's important. No, that's important. You're right. We have to we have to separate it, right? We have to say, okay, this is what's really important to me. I want to keep this over here. And people be allowed to respect that. All right, you know what? That's yours. I respect it. I won't bother that, right? Because that's one thing that's not taught either is respect. Like, respect goes a lot longer and further than always wanting to be right. And you know, so
if we could
have that balance in life with saying like, yo, I'd rather respect you than to be right. I'd rather have it in a situation where I don't have to say certain things to you in order for it to be where I got to be right. Let me just hold, because, you know, let's think about it when it comes to our children. There will be things that they really keep and hold sentimental to them. I just don't want them to look at it as a means they want to show other people and then don't allow them. So if it's really that important to you, put it up, keep it up, don't show people, right? But if you're going to brag or put it in front of people's face and then tell them they can't touch it, well, then that makes it be a little different, right? That goes to be like, okay, well, listen, why are you even showing it? Why are you showing it to me?
I didn't need to know that.
You get what I'm saying? So that's why teaching children how to share, while you said, right, having a respect of understanding what's important to you and not, that's where the disconnect is. We got to have both conversations, right? You're going to have
to learn the whole idea of sharing. We have to learn what other people, what means something to others too. So we also have to learn to respect their things. So yes, that's a really good point. We have to learn to respect other people's things too. We can't just go willy-nilly and going through things, going into someone else's home and opening their refrigerator or not having respect for their things. And when they let us borrow them, we don't care. We throw them around and treat them without due respect. Yes, that's a very good point.
And I think that goes back to the whole thing about what's, you know, who they are. Like, most people are so stuck on this is how I am that they feel like who they are is presentable everywhere they go. And it's not. You know, who you are is presentable everywhere you go, long as you leave with respect everywhere you go. If you ever do not leave with respect, then wherever you go, you're going to find yourself in a position where you're going to find some rebuttal about who you are as a person. Like you say, you just can't come into people's house and then just go in a refrigerator, right? And you should not be able to just, like, if a person tells you, like, listen, you got to take your shoes off at my house, you know, and you, the first time you might be like, okay, I didn't know. So the next time you come, and now if you're not prepared to take your shoes off, now you're just being disrespectful. You can't just think you're going to complain every time and I'm going to be like, you know, don't worry about it. Keep your shoes on. No, you got to take your shoes off when you come over here, right? And that's period. So don't come back if you're not willing to respect that. I shouldn't have to tell you that all the time. And I think that's what it goes by having a kid. Like you said, starting them little. Like, look, I don't need to keep telling you this. This is something that you're going to have to know for the rest of your life, right? You're going to have to share a space with somebody. You're going to have to. You're not going to want to live alone. You're not going to want to be alone. You know what I mean? You're going to have to share something, even if it's working, co-workers. You got to be able to share something. You got to respect your space and respect others. But respect got to be the main thing. So when you taught child psychology, was it whenever you case studies, right, that you actually, you know, talk to children, was there a common theme in children that were dealing with things that involved school where they couldn't, you know, they were really probably smart and bright kids, but was there a common theme as to why they wasn't excelling or why they were kind of blocking themselves?
I taught child psychology at the college level. And let me give you a couple of things. And then I taught high school special education. But, you know, one of my students in my child psychology class, she had a 2-year-old son. And one day he put his shoes in the microwave and cooked them. And she spanked him. And I said, why? Why did you spank him? And she said, well, what he did was wrong. I said, well, you know, if somebody hit me every time I did something wrong, I would be sitting in the middle of the room crying, unable to move, because I do things wrong all the time. people who do more, the more you do, the more wrong you do. Just because you can't be perfect at everything. You can't be perfect at anything. And so,
right.
So I said to her, I said, he has seen you. She goes, all you should put in the microwave is food. I said, he has seen you put things in there that don't look like food, containers, plastic, a lot of things, you know, a cup that maybe you had water in, but he didn't know that. So he's only two. He was experimenting. He was doing what he thought was right. And he got spanked for it. So a lot of times we spank children, we hit children, and I don't believe in ever hitting, but you know, a lot of times people will hit children when what they really need to do is talk to them and say, hey, wait a minute, why'd you do that? Well, that's what you do when you want to warm that up, you put it in there. My shoes were cold. You know, he probably had a really good reason. But unless we talk to them and get the answer, we don't know. It is, you know, there's a story of one little boy. His dad was very abusive, and he was about a one-year-old child. The father was very abusive. This child, was in a study. And what would happen was the child would be with the mother, and everything would be fine. But as soon as dad came home, the child would sit in the middle of the room and just cry because he would be afraid to do anything. Because every time he did anything, the dad would yell at him or hit him. So there he was, trapped in fear. I don't want a fearful child. I want a child who's you know, the only way you learn things is to make mistakes. You know, like we let kids try stuff, piano lessons, football, soccer, whatever. And some parents will say, you know, you've tried this, you've tried that. You never finish anything. Well, yeah, I'm a kid. I'm trying to figure out what I like. What do you mean I don't finish anything? I'm practicing. I'm pretty much practicing what I trying to figure out what I like. So it really is. It's really difficult, you know, when you have children to walk that fine line between, you know, are they quitting everything or are they just trying to find out what they do like? Because I can't find out if I want to play piano unless you let me sit in front of it and somebody teaches me how.
Right.
Or guitar. That's true. Or painting, or flower arranging, or gardening, or, you know, the drawing. The millions of things that kids do, football, baseball, soccer. Right. Yeah, so they have to try it all. They have to try it all. And, you know, I had another story. I got to tell you this story. Okay, the mother of a teenager. You were talking about leaders, Rashid, and this is so important. You know, there's a saying, too many Indians and not enough chiefs. I don't think that's the way it is. At all anymore. I think there are too few Indians, too many chiefs. Yeah, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. No, these days, not enough chiefs. There are not enough leaders. People think they're leaders, but they're not. You work for somebody and they gossip about everybody else. Is that a leader? No. You're afraid of that person, even though they're your manager. You can't even do your full job because you know that they're going to talk bad about you. You know they talk bad about everybody. What kind of leadership is that? And so if we want our children to be leaders, we need to lead. Well, here's the story. This woman was telling me that her teenager, she said she had a really good relationship with her daughter, and her daughter was a really good kid. And her daughter came home to her one day and said, Mom, I'm really sorry, but I had to talk bad about you. And she goes, but I made it all up. Because there's nothing bad about you. And her mother said, well, why'd you do that? And she goes, well, all my friends were talking bad about their parents. And so that I could feel like I fit in, I said bad things about you. And I said to her, I said, your daughter has just kind of given up her soul to be accepted. Mm. What your daughter just did is what all the drugs and alcohol, all the kids that go to parties do drugs and alcohol. Why? To be accepted. They all steal or do whatever. Why? To be accepted. Your daughter just showed she's not a leader yet. She's a follower. And as a follower, she'll do whatever it takes to be accepted. Quote unquote, accepted. You know, I go to the jail every Monday and I talk to the addicts and the alcoholics. And I say to them, look, you're in a university here. This is a university of behavior. If you study, when you get out of here, you will have a leg up on most people because you will understand human behavior. I said, I want you to look around here and see who has power, but nobody listens to them. They only have power because they're a guard, and they know that they can get the people in trouble. That's the only reason they listen to them. Who has no power? But everybody listens to them. Start looking. Why? Why? Which of the guards do people like, and which ones don't they like? Which of the inmates do people gravitate to, and which do they avoid? Why? Right. What do they do different? If you study, when you get out of here, you will have a much better chance of not coming back here and of getting along better with people.
Yeah. And you're right. The leadership starts with the parents, because whoever that was that you was talking about that had a microwave low enough for a 2-year-old to even get to it is bananas, because they shouldn't even be able to reach the microwave, because children will do weird stuff like that. Like when they little like that, they will, because mine, he put his toys in the fireplace. He didn't know no better. He didn't get in trouble for it, but he put his toys in the fireplace like, yo, fam, what are you doing? If we was to turn this on, it'll be a whole fire. But he too, so he don't know no better. But that's the point. The point is, though, you're right. There is like a balance that needs to be had. Like you can't. Now, I know there's some people who don't believe in spanking their children at all. That's depending on if you understand life or not, because at some point, you know, the people that you, once you are becoming adult, you know, you cannot take that same mentality outside, because people will find their retribution for whatever they feel like the way you made you feel has to be something that you got to have a respect for and be able to understand that this could happen. I don't ever want my children to understand that a certain repercussions may not come to a physical space. Because you got to understand the difference between when a person understands that you're doing things on purpose, or you don't care, or you're not having the respect. Because you got to realize that, you know, like even an example of raising young men, I say this all the time, like with women, with young girls, it's a little different when it comes from a dad, right? Because, you know, most of the time, depending on the vibrato that you speak in, the girls pretty much are going to try to respect that, especially if you're a stand-up person. Now, with your sons are going to try you. Right? Because they have a difference in the parent. Like they have a difference in their personality of the parent. They know that their mom is going to be more of a protector, especially if the dad is more of a disciplinarian. So the kid is going to feel a certain way with the mom, because the mom is going to let him get away with things, because she's going to have that. Now the dad is going to come in and say, yo, I can't keep talking to you about the same thing. So this has got to be stopped here. Why? Because at some point, this young man is going to be a leader. And if he becomes a manipulator, because he understands that the woman is going to be okay with him acting up, then he'll become a manipulator when he grows up. Now, see, that's the one thing I would not want my child to be, as a manipulator, because I've never been that. Like, I've never, you know, my grandfather taught me this as a kid, and he said, you should never force anybody to love you. He said, be who you are always. And if they love you for who you are, they're going to be. If they're not, they're going to go. And for everyone that's ever walked out of my life, I've allowed them without fight, because that's the one important thing that I feel like really makes sense. Like, you have to allow people to love you. You cannot make them do that. You can't buy their love. You can't gift their love. You can't do all these things. You can't talk them into loving you. They got to want to love you for who you are. It doesn't go no other way. So when raising young men, we got to help them to understand there's a balance. You got to understand the balance. There's a certain place that you cannot go, because there are repercussions when you're a man. There's repercussions. So you got to learn how to control your emotions. You got to understand that, yo, listen, you have a father over here that really cares about the decisions you make, right? Versus it being the other way around, where, you know, you have one parent trying to play both. And it doesn't matter if it goes from the dad being a single dad and, you know, he's raising the children. He can't be the woman. He can't be that. You know, we get the nurturing part that all human beings should be able to possess, but we also get the dynamic that the mom, moms, they just have a different dynamic that we don't have as fathers, and it's vice versa. And the child needs that balance. right? They say all things have a feminine and masculine energy in nature. Nature is the perfect balance of masculine and feminine. Whenever people be talking about, oh, in the springtime, my God, I have these bad allergies, the pollen. Why is the pollen out there? It's because it's working with the female trees. That's how the female tree is able to bear fruit. It's a balance in everything. And in so much in life, we ignore the balance. I talk about this a lot, how we get away from nature when it comes to the balance of life, right? And like you said, teaching your children gonna have to come with that particular type of balance where you gotta let them be them, but you also have to teach them how to be. It's just a weird place to be when you're an adult. Because like you said, we're not gonna always get it right. I don't care how old you get, you're not gonna always be right or get it right. So it's a really tough place to be in. Right. So for and you, people, like when, go ahead.
People don't realize children really do need both parents. You know, I met a judge once and he said in 20 years on the bench, I've never had a male offender come in front of me who lived with both parents, who had a father in their lives. In 20 years, he said, every single one did not have a father in his life. I thought, whoa. And here's another thing. Okay. I have a friend, he's a grandpa and he's got, I think he had five kids. Anyway, one of his kids has kids. So this little 3-year-old had his own little motorcycle, gas powered motorcycle. The kid was three or four at the most. So he's got his little helmet on and he's riding his little gas powered motorcycle around and he gets back to grandpa and they've got a video on him, grandpa and his dad. And grandpa goes, I don't think you're going fast enough. You want to go faster? Said no mother ever, right? Only a dad, only a man would say that. And the kid goes, yeah, grandpa, yeah. And so grandpa turned up the throttle. And the kid went zooming all around. Well, you know, all on that Facebook page, every female. Oh, how could you do that? That was dangerous. Oh, my goodness. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and that's why parents need dads and moms. Dads are they do more dangerous. I don't know if that's the right word, but they do more cool stuff with the boys. You know, moms, like you said, they're protectors. Oh my goodness, no, you can't turn up the throttle. He could hurt himself. You know, or dads turn up the throttle. Come on, let's have some fun. You know, what's the Pinewood Derby about in Boy Scouts? It's all about getting that car going faster. You know, that's how he put all these weights and everything. My son won the Pinewood Derby 3 years in a row. He and his dad would work on that car, you know, forever, every year. It was a really, really big deal. I couldn't help him with that.
Right.
That's not, you know, that, I would read with him. He would do cool stuff with his dad. Kids need both. So even if you're divorced, you know, they need dad in their life. Moms and dads are important. For many different reasons. Just like you said, Rashid, you know, the dad is more the disciplinarian and the mom is more like, and here's another thing. College recruiters will tell you when it comes time for seniors to go view colleges to see which college they like to go to, moms bring the sons and dads bring the daughters.
Wow.
They said it happens almost every time.
Wow. It's a dope. That's what Isn't I'm saying. It's amazing balance. Yeah, that whenever you have that, and I think that's where the adults get it wrong at, is because what we do is we try to replace people to be in the place of, like, when you have children with people, and if the relationship between the adults don't work, what they do is they get new people and then they try to put those people in the place of their, you know, who the responsibility, because the person is for them. So then you'll have a child where the mother will get with a new person, and because that new person makes it about them, they make the child about them. right? And then you have dads on the other end, they'll get somebody new. And then they have to worry about the balance of the woman accepting the fact that they have a child, because they know that they have a mother to the child that's out there as well, too, that has to get some type of communication and continuation with. And then there's a lot of, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of women who are raised that they are supposed to be the only, the one, and the prize. And so very seldom they're able to understand the balance of co-parenting, but without having to be insecure about the fact that you're being a co-parent and there's another woman that's going to be involved in your life and your relationship because you share a child. So a lot of immaturity happens in adults because of the balance that was not placed on them as children. Right. They grow up. Like I said, the selfish thing is a thing that is real. Even people who don't recognize they're selfish, because like they earlier when you said, they don't self-evaluate themselves because they are not used to somebody telling them that, yo, this ain't right. Right. They'll go about their life at continuing in this thing of saying, no, it's about me. It's about me. It's only and da 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 da. And then you're like, no, like, listen, hold on. All of this is what it's supposed to be. This is a village. So many people right now, parents are struggling with two parents struggling to raise one child because they don't have enough time. Because the village is broken up now, right? Everybody is about me, me, me. So the parents, the grandparents, they really are in the grandchildren's life. You got to remember, you got 30-year-olds who their, you know, their mom is only 45, right? So you got 45-year-old grandmothers out here who still feeling themselves, right? It's things are so different now. 55-year-old grandmothers, they still out here living their life, or they are away, right? So you don't have that family dynamic no more like it used to be. So now whenever you do have a blended family, so to speak, nobody could get along because people are too busy worried about the other person. Versus understanding like, yo, now everybody need to work together. This is a group effort. If you feel like this person gonna be in your life forever, I bet, then they need to get in line. They don't get in the front, they get in line. And that's the hardest part about egos too when it comes to men, because now men want to marry people and feel like now, since they the leader in their house, they the leader in the situation. No, you're not. Right? It's respect that always has to be in the forefront, not titles. And you said this earlier, which was a good thing to say too when it came to your job about your supervisors, right? Like, it's the same thing. Like, the way that you supervise at work is the way that you are in your relationships at home. If you get any amount of power, this is what you're going to do. That's the saddest part about it too. So whenever you think about this, when I asked you earlier about your case studies about, you know, different children you may have had to have conversations with, has it ever led to you having to have a conversation with the parent?
Well,
you just keep the conversation between the children and just let that stay? Because I had a guy, before you give the answer, I'm going to give you the reason why I asked that. Because I had a guy on my show who was, well, he had been sexually assaulted by his biological dad ever since he was about 8-9 months old, to the point where the older he got, the dad was part of a sex trafficking ring where men would take their sons, they would take them to a cabin. Well, it was a large area where it was groups of cabins, where a bunch of men would bring their sons to swap them off with other men for sexual favors, right? So he grew up like this. But in his way of being able to deal with it, he had to go through therapy, but he had to go through therapy as an adult, not as a child. So he went through all of this in order for him to get to a place in himself where he realized he needed to go get therapy for himself. So I was wondering, because he said that his mom pretty much knew what was going on and she did nothing. But he said that he would talk to different family members because his dad was doing it to other little younger family members, nephews and little cousins and stuff. His dad was doing it to them too. So, but if they had someone that they could talk to at a young age, if they told them this, but because of the way that things are set up, the people never really approach the parents about it. Because that's crazy, right? So that's why I'm asking you, has there ever been situations where you had to talk to children based on things they may have gone through where it caused you to have to really, listen, I'm going to have to talk to your parents. Like, they're going to have to just be mad, but I gotta figure this out. Has that ever happened to you being a
I've got one situation where I had to talk to parents and as a teacher, and here's what happened. Mm-hmm. It was at the high school and a new student had come into the school. I had taught his brother. His brother, I think, was 12th grade and this young man was 9th grade and he was on the football team. Well, I went into his science classroom one day. I wasn't his teacher. He wasn't in my class at all. And I went into his science room one day and he was just making a mess of that room. He was cutting up. He was not letting the teacher teach. He was a holy terror. So I went right to the football coach and I told him, and I said, you know, I really need your help here. He keeping people from learning, keeping the teacher from teaching. I need you to help. And the coach did. He told the young man, he said, you're going to sit on that bench until you behave the way you should in that classroom. Well, the very next day, those parents were at the school at 7 a.m. to tell me to mind my business. And, you know, how dare you, really, really break me over the coals. How dare you, it's none of your business. And I said, you know what? I disagree with you. It is my business. Your son is keeping others from learning. That cannot happen. We're at school. This is where people learn to have careers, right, and to move on in their lives. He does not have that right. It is my business. So, yeah, I did have to talk to the parents at that time. And then now from the incident that you were talking about, I didn't talk to the parent. One of the girls at the treatment center I go to every week, this was a few months back. They told her either she goes to treatment or she goes to jail for, I think it was crack cocaine. Anyway, she was telling us that her mother is an addict. And she was telling us how her mother used to sell her for drugs. And she would try to, and she still lived with her mom. And she would confront her mother sometimes and say, Mom, you know, you sold me for drugs. And the mother would always deny it. And I told the girl, I said, how could your mother admit that? That would mean she's a monster. How could anyone admit that they're a monster? You know, because the mother would say to her, right, oh, you wanted to go with him. Oh, you know, you did it because you wanted to. I said, you can't put this on your mother. She's not ready. She's not ready to admit what she's done. She's a weak woman. She needs you to be strong. You're going to have to get strong. You know, that's you're what here that now. You've been without drugs. You're going to have to be strong. You're a woman now. The girl was 20-something. Right.
That's crazy. That's what the guy on my that was on my show, he said. He said that although in his mind he felt like it was wrong because for other men to be touching on him and it felt bad and it felt wrong, he said that was one of the things that they were kept telling him. They kept telling him, no, look, you like this, because they would do things to him and these things happen. He was like, no, you like this. Look what happened when I touched you here. Look what you like this. Right. That's part of the mind control. Yeah. And making them feel like that. That's what they, and then they go into like maybe I am, or maybe I'm, or what am I doing to make them want to do this to me?
Exactly. Yeah. It really is. It's a sad situation. And that's why as parents, we need to be leaders. And that's why, you know, when you see some, you know, there was a story of, an uncle who was a child molester, and some of the kids found out about it when they became adults. And one of the parents said something like, that's why I never let him around my kids, because he knew his brother was a molester, but he didn't warn any of the others. He knew his brother was a molester, but he didn't warn any of the others in the family to protect their own children. That's not right. See, we turn a blind eye to too much that's happening. So yes, that's because we're not leaders, we're followers. And that's, we just want to be accepted and go along to get along. Because you know what? Let's face it, life is hard. There's no doubt about it. Life is challenge after, every day you're going to come upon probably 10 things that are inconvenient, annoying, aggravating, angering, and you're going to have to suck it up. We got to suck, you know, if you want to move forward in your life, you're going to have to suck it up and move forward. Because otherwise, what are you going to do? Stand there and cry like a baby and get nothing done? That's just life. Right. You know, just like you had to reboot your computer today. Aggravating, right. Annoying. 10 minutes before the show starts, you're worried, you're concerned, you know, and you've got a family to take care of and everything else. And it's like, okay, what do I got to do? I got to reboot the computer. I'm aggravated and I'm annoyed. It's the absolute worst possible time, but I got to do it. So am I going to have a big fit? Yeah. Or am I just going to get it done?
Yeah. That's it. You're right. That's the purpose.
Yeah, grow up. Mm-hmm. And you know, I had to tell myself to grow up. And you know, here's the problem with life, Rashid. We get old too quick and wise too late.
That make a lot of sense, you know, but it's very hard because people are being in a routine where they don't have to think. They don't have to think. They know their job, so they don't have to think. It's the same thing. They do the same thing. They go to church. They don't have to think because the pastor is telling them what to feel and what God has felt like he told them to say, and that's as far as they go. You don't have to, you know, like everything in life, like people are looking for something outside of them to help them or to save them or to give them something versus what's really in them.
Blame, right?
Yeah. People blame other people all the time for happiness. You know, I say this all the time. No one else is responsible for your happiness. You have to be happy within yourself. If you're happy, then the people around you can be happy. If you're not happy, if the only thing that you could find is things that are wrong, you can't never replace that with what's good or what makes you happy, then you're going to find yourself in unhappy situations all the time. And the subconscious, the way that works is that your body can't tell the difference if what you're thinking was something that really happened or just your thoughts. It doesn't tell it. You feel it. The way that you play these movies out in your mind based on the way that you're just thinking for the day, your body reflects that. You can feel that. Some people can even draw up anger over a made-up scenario just by the way you plant things that's in your subconscious, because so many people are afraid to face the fact that, yo, I be wrong sometimes. Like, listen, I be wrong. It's not always about the way another person is responding to you. Sometimes because people are quiet or they get into themselves, it's basically because they're processing things and they're not acting out. Right? Because there's some people, the slightest sense of something going wrong, they're going to act out. They show out, they stomp off, they slam doors, they leave places.
Yeah.
Right? And very seldom do you have people who understand that they're going through something mentally, but they're processing it as an adult. They might be quiet. They might not be them same self if they normally be, but they're giving it the opportunity to process it without running away from it, dealing with it head on, even looking at what is considered to be the problem. Even if it's another person, the other person might be a problem, but I'm looking at you still every day, face on, dealing with it, processing it to move forward or to make a decision. But that goes a long way versus people who just act out because things don't work out. Like you said, the temper tantrum, you know, that happens. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm appreciative of the conversation tonight. Like, I'm going to be honest with you because, you know, we have so many things in this country that is, well, in the world, let me not just say here, in the world that are affecting children. On a day-to-day basis. I mean, terrible things that are affecting children. And the number one cause of that is because the children don't have parents. And I know it's going to probably be a lot of people who listen to this and be like, who you talk? I'm a parent. Like, no, I'm not saying it in that aspect. I'm saying out of the 800,000 children that are missing right now, they are not missing because they don't have their parents. Some of these kids came over here alone. Let's not even think about just what happened to the kids that have come through here on the migrant status. Like, look, there have been kids missing on milk boxes and milk cartons and in post offices for years. Like, children have been because, why? There haven't been enough adults around to pay attention to the children. But that is another thing that I don't understand either. That's why to be able to be in a position to say, listen, we have to start advocating for the children. We have to be able to allow children to be children, but you still have to be able to be there for them. You have to, you know, create a life for yourself, if you have to, that can free you up more time. If your job, and I mean this too, Martha, I know a lot of people, when I say these things, they don't take it well because they think I'm trying to tell them something not to be. When I say, you know, okay, yeah, you might have a great job right now, and you might make a good amount of money on your job where you can take care of everything. But if you don't have the time that it takes to be there for your child, you're going to have to figure out something else that can make you the money that you're making and give you the more time. You don't have the luxury of saying, I can't. You don't. Because you put your children at risk when you just trust them to go off with random people. Like, you know, we let our children play sports, right? We'll just let them go off to the practices and everything, and that's it. Like, we can't be there. Like, yo, no. Like, a parent needs to be at the practices as much as they at the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said earlier, to study people is to know people. A lot of these children that's been touched and molested is by people that they trust too as well. Not just by strangers or complete strangers. They're being touched by people they trust. Coaches, teachers, police. Like, these are people who people trust. These are the people that's touching these kids and doing them dirty. And that's always because a parent is not always present. Like, yo, letting you know, like, yo, listen, I'm here with mine. You better pay attention because I'm paying attention to you, bro, or sis, whoever they are, I'm paying attention. Mm-hmm. Little girls got to deal with it too because, you know, they got boys who say that they're girls in their locker rooms. And they just saying that's what they are. Right? That's not what they really live in. They're just saying that they are. And now little girls are getting touched. Not even little girls, like college girls, like, are getting touched and things. Yeah. And because
that's
a man
in a whole other bizarre thing. Yeah.
Whole like another thing, right?
Yeah.
So we gotta get to a place to protect the kids. So before we get out of here, we gotta talk about your book real quick. I want people to know about your book and how to get it. And yeah, so let's talk about that real quick. Show the cover again, and let's figure out how we can get people to get
the book. Yes, you can raise happy, responsible children. It's only, I think it's 60 pages. It's just bullet point. It's just a quick little. Here's what you do if the kid won't put his seatbelt on in the car. What do you do? Let's say you put the kid in the car and he keeps unhooking his seatbelt. What do you do? You pull over. If you're driving and the kid does it, you pull over safely, somewhere safe, and you sit there until the child puts a seatbelt on. And you do this as many times as it takes for the child to learn that you can't drive until that seatbelt's on. What do you do at the grocery store? The kid's running all over the place. Well, first thing, before you go to the grocery store, you tell the kid, look, we're going to the grocery store. In order for me to feel comfortable, I need to be able to see you, and you need to be able to see me at all times. If I can't see you, you're going to sit in the cart. You understand? Okay. So you go to the grocery store. The kid runs off. But you don't get mad. You go, okay, I see you've decided to sit in the cart. Where are the bananas? I need help. Give the kid a job. Make sure they always have something to do all the time. Make sure you bring a bag full of toys and whatever, wherever you go, the doctor's office, your friend's house. But anyway, that's what the book is. It's just full of stuff like that, you know, and the chapters. Here's the chapters. The chapters are building self-esteem, discipline, creating positive relationships, raising smart children, mealtimes at the grocery store, travel across the street or across the country, creating a safe home, to strengthen your marriage, praise and encouragement. Yeah, it's just a quick, you put it in the diaper bag, you have it with you all the time. And it's a quick read. And it's the things that I learned, that those are the things that turned my son around, that made our lives pleasant, that made it easy to deal with him.
Wow. Okay, so listen, all of y'all that. Okay, yeah, I was getting ready to say, we got to tell them. You said Amazon. I got the links too. So what we're going to do is
whenever. Yes, you can raise happy, responsible children. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to chop it up and I'm going to put the links included so people could go figure out how to, you know, buy the book, check it out so they could get some tips and help, especially for people who are dealing with young kids, young toddlers and stuff. First time moms would probably be great to come pick up this book if they never been a mom or really never really had to deal with, you know, raising or being around young children, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, all of y'all that's watching.
And they're not behaving. You have kids and they're not behaving, just like what happened to me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah.
It's never too late. Never too late.
It's a lot of great tips in this book. So for those of y'all that are watching tonight, thank y'all so much for jumping on. And we want to make sure that, you know, for all the people that's going to watch the playback, if you are a parent of a young child and you are going through it, because, you know, we spoil our children. And if it's time for you to get to the realization that it's time for you to break the spoilness of your child, then what Martha did is she came up with a book of a thing that helped her, because she once had a spoiled child, and it helped her, and it helped her to be able to get her child on the right track without so much of the discipline part, right? Which is another thing that we try to make sure that we don't abuse our children. We have to give them discipline, but we cannot abuse them. Right. And because all it does is turn them into an abuser. So thank y'all so much for everybody that jumped on tonight and watched. That really meant a lot. If you guys know me, y'all know that each and every week I'm going to get up here and I'm going to talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And we want y'all to make sure that y'all keep up with my guests even after the show. So, Martha, what we want you to do is tell them how to find you on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you are, where people could try to find you and, you know, maybe want to reach out to you, because like you said, you taught child psychology. So it may be a couple of other deeper questions that parents may have that they didn't feel comfortable asking here tonight, and they might want to reach out to you. How can they find you?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Martha Burridge. You can join my free Facebook group for parents, Mastering Child Behavior. And Rashid has that link under the video too. Mm-hmm. And also, if you want to email me, martha@marthaburich.com, B-U-R-I-C-H. And I'm also on LinkedIn, so Facebook, LinkedIn, and marthaburich.com, martha@marthaburich.com, and Amazon.
There you go. And listen, a lot of y'all be sleeping on LinkedIn. If you're a professional content creator, whatever you're doing, you need to have a LinkedIn page, because, yeah, it's important that you present yourself as a business at all times. And I appreciate the fact that she said that, because very few people even mention that they're on LinkedIn. Right. They're on other platforms. That's the more, you know, the more popular, the more, you know, whatever. But, you know, LinkedIn is one of those that are right up in there. And it's always great for you to have it. So, again, Martha, thank you so much for speaking with me this evening. It was a great conversation. We learned so much tonight. And, you know, I hope all the people that watch and watch the playback, I hope you guys got something out of tonight's conversation. I definitely did. And I hope you guys continue to follow Martha and keep up with the things that she has going on, especially on Facebook, and join her Facebook group for parents. And for those of y'all that may be watching or watch the playback, and if you know young parents or parents that have young children, you know, try to get them over to that group page and help them, because everybody needs some type of parenting help. But we know that culturally, people raise their children differently. We understand that. But what we also understand is that all children are children until they're not, regardless of what culture they're raised in. And they are going to be who they are in spite of. So having a few extra tips here and there can only help you. It won't hurt you, no matter how much you feel like you know already. So again, thank y'all so much for joining me tonight. Y'all know we on next week. We're going into about the middle of December, and then we're going to take a break so we can come back for season 3 in January. We have a lot of dope conversations lined up in January, so thank y'all again. Thank you to all the sponsors. And like I said, Martha, thank you so much for joining us. And to all of y'all that are watching, y'all know my motto. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, peace.